One of the Lord's promises to us is that in the last days His presence is going to increase upon His church. Even as the morning star arises in the east, and the star Venus announces the coming of a new day, the morning star arises to say that there's a bigger light coming. There's a glorious light. It doesn't just happen instantly. It doesn't have to catch us by surprise if we're not in the darkness. But when that morning star rises, it will increase the light. I thought I'd get up early enough to see it this morning, but there's too much cloud over the eastern sky. And I noticed when the sky was blue enough, you can't see it anymore. I think when His true glory comes, whatever we think is glorious is going to fade in comparison. And we're looking at a series at the moment about, excuse me, just the new house that He's building. The glory of His house compared to the glory of the former. The new covenant in light of the old covenant. The glory before the Lord says His physical appearing, when everything will be changed in an instant of an eye, we'll put on immortality, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more death. But before that time, He promised an increase of His presence. Increase of the kingdom of God. His world breaking in. Signs, wonders, miracles and healings. And all over the world, we're hearing a report of just the increase of the presence of God. And we've been looking at the book of Luke. And I'm intrigued with this passage on the transfiguration in chapter 9. I'm so excited this morning. Where's Luke again? New Testament. I'm looking for it. Thank you, Richard. That's helpful. But the Lord promised that He's going to fill His house with glory. And there's going to be an increase in the days we live in, like we've never known before. And it's like there's this progressive revelation of Jesus that He brings to His disciples. And through Luke we see they knew Him as the bearded man who wore sandals, a little baby in a manger. But something happened on this mount as He called them and demanded of them a heightened commitment. Take up your cross and follow Me. Jesus said, in the same way I'm going to take up My cross, you're going to have to take up your cross. And out of this demand and expectation, He brings a revelation of Himself that we've been looking at and studying. Where we're at currently is the sad realization that in the midst of this wonderful increased presence of Jesus, it says in verse 32, Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw His glory. So we see in the midst of this wonderful outpouring and experience, thanks Tom, we see that His disciples are sleeping. What a tragedy. What a tragedy if they had slept right through this encounter and missed out on what He was doing. So we looked a little bit last week, if you weren't here, quickly, a kind of recap. If you were here, just you'll know these word perfect already. But when we look at the subject of spiritual drowsiness and we relate it to physical drowsiness, there's some connections that take place. And in the transfiguration, it's time to wake up from this spiritual sleep. We looked in the physical, there's certain indications that people are just always tired, always lethargic. That's point number one. Thanks, Shane, Sean. That people are tired. The indications of this spiritual drowsiness. And in a similar way, many people fall into spiritual drowsiness for the same reason. The causes in the natural are when we've got bad disciplines of eating and sleeping and no exercise and we're in bad shape. It affects us and maybe brings on some drowsiness in the physical realm. And the truth is in the spiritual realm, is that often it's the causes are just a lack of spiritual disciplines. Lack of spiritual discipline in His Word and in worship, in fellowship and around the table of the Lord. Viruses get into people's bodies and make them tired as your body fights that. As we allow sin and stuff to come into our lives, and when hope is deferred, we get depressed because what we're expecting never happened. And when people allow themselves or get into depression, whatever way it comes, it can bring about tiredness. And we looked at some of the remedies of there's some consequences and remedies. Remedies, remember it was shaking, shouting, shocking. Those are the ways in the natural to wake somebody up who's asleep. You know, you either got to call them, kids, it's time to get to school, and they're in such a depth of coma that it takes about 10 reminders. Shocking, just getting someone out of their comfort zone. Or, what's the other one? Shaking. Got to physically shake you up. In the same way in the spiritual, there's a shaking that's taking place around the world, and many people are feeling it. It's a wake-up call. Church, it's time to wake up. Or shock treatment, or just a prophetic shout of the proclamation. The trumpet call saying, church, it's time to come out of our sleep. We don't want to miss out on the mountain what Jesus wants to reveal to ourselves about Himself. We don't want to miss this glorious transfiguration of His presence increasing from glory to glory. We don't want a glory that's fading and passing away. We want to take hold of what He's got for us. Church, awake. There's a shout. There's a trumpet call. Many consequences if we don't awake. In Scripture, there are a whole list of consequences. Sean, they can come up one at a time. Consequences of falling asleep on the job. Falling asleep while you can't stay awake. I'd love to watch the end, but just can't. Just malnutrition. In Proverbs it says, a man who's always sleeping won't have bread to share. You think of that spiritually. If we allow spiritual sleepiness to come over us, we won't have fresh manna from heaven, fresh bread to sustain ourselves. We'll experience spiritual malnutrition. Or what about deception? We found that when Samson eventually gave his secret away, it was while he was sleeping that Delilah came and cut into his hair. While he was sleeping, the Bible says. Could it be that while we're sleeping, the enemy knows where our weakness is and he can come in? What about sinking? Have you ever had that sinking feeling? Some of those over 50 could make a song out of that. Jonah, running away from the call of God in his life, finds himself depressed, oppressed, unimpressed, on a boat that's about to sink. And what does the Bible say? They found him sleeping in the bottom of the ship. And they said to him, wake up, come and see what's happening. Could it be when we've run away from our calling, spiritually sleeping, we're not doing what God has commissioned us to do, we find ourselves in a place of sleep while the ship's going down? Or just being unsupportive. Next one. Here's Jesus in the most difficult time of his life, facing the cross and all the sin of the world being invading his very body, soul and life. And in that moment of time, where do we find the disciples? Sleeping against a tree. Could it be in a time where people are facing the biggest crisis, the biggest challenge, a kairos time in the history of this planet, the church is found sleeping when she should be praying? What about weeds? Jesus told a parable about the farmer while he was sleeping. He'd gone out and planted his seeds and the crop was, but the enemy came while he was sleeping and planted seeds. Could it be that the enemy even now is starting to throw a little this, a little that, a little discord, a little jealousy, a little division, a little criticism, all these little seeds in our lives? It's while we're sleeping, while we've taken spiritual sabbatical, while we've taken a time of spiritual folding of the arms, resting of the head. Or just being unprepared. Like the 10 virgins who didn't have, some had oil in their lamps, some didn't. But it says, while they were sleeping, the bridegroom called. Could it just be that we could be unprepared in a day that the Lord said, don't let this day come on you unsuspectingly. It's not a thief in the night for those who are watching the seasons, who are awake. He says, watch and pray. Be alert. Where there's a spiritual alertness, we won't be caught unprepared for the day. So, could you agree with me that spiritual drowsiness is a very dangerous condition? One that we see on the Mount of Transfiguration, his disciples nearly missing out on the most glorious revelation of Jesus, his brightness, his power. There, that conversation between Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, which we've been robbed of in Scripture because they were snoozing. Well, they should have been alert. Could it be? So we looked at those three S's. Nice when things rhyme like that. Helps me remember. You know, then you're at standard 8, you've got to rely on acronyms and mnemonics. Is that the right word? There's a shaking taking place. There's shocking taking place. And there's a shouting taking place. But can I add a fourth one this morning? Shine a light. At this moment, the Bible says, in that scripture, Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory. His face was radiating. It was a bit like the revelation of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, where his raiment, it was like lightning and thunder and just spectacular splendor, breathtaking, so much so that John couldn't even look at how bright it was. Like the arc of a welding torch in immense and intensity before him. In this light, they woke up. Light can wake you up. We need some light to wake us up. My dear sister's got some tales to tell about her older brother. When he used to come at home 2 o'clock in the morning, from being out, wherever he'd been out, don't talk about those things here. Come back from a club at 2 a.m, and just to avoid stumbling and stepping over things, I'd just switch the lights on. Oh, and she'd squeal like a little pig. And she'd go, I'd just switch the lights on. Just woke up. That's just not a nice old thing for an older brother to do, eh? Or in the army, how did they used to get our attention? Suddenly the light's on. You've just got a bed. You've just ironed your cabinet, your boots, your stockings, your webbing, your rifle butt, whatever you had to do. And suddenly the lights are on and there's someone screaming at you. Come on, come on, come on. Tell teenagers, oh, that's all the three. Come, come, come. The first few times it's like this just shock. It's just light. But after you get used to that after a while, you find that no one has to scream at you. All that happens is the light goes on. And you're awake. So light has that effect on us. So this got me interested. I'm thinking now, Lord, the word for the church in this hour we're in right now is, it's time to wake up. We cannot miss out on what God is doing right now. Come out of your sleep. Come out of your slumber. It's destined to rob you. It's destined to make you unprepared for the things that are happening around you. So wake up. So declare the message. Shout it out. Shine a light. Got me looking at some scriptures and I want to just go through a couple with you this morning that'll just bring revelation to this subject. And they're going to come up, maybe you're going to turn them fast enough, but you can maybe get the reference at least. There's some key verses on the subject. Some key verses on the subject. It's all those scriptures now that are coming up. The one after that. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Man, I don't know about you, but that scripture just got into my heart recently. It's saying, bring the centrality of your life again around the presence and the person of Jesus Christ. Make your orbit Him. You were created to reflect Him and to bring Him glory. If you're living around the orbit of your own life, there's gonna be an emptiness, a dissatisfaction that takes place. And even if you're a Christian doing that, to make God and His kingdom and His church just something that fits around me and all about me, versus a life where Jesus is central. Lord, I've been created for Your splendor, for Your glory, for Your majesty. Arise and shine, for Your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. And in Ephesians 5 verse 14, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now what exactly is this light? It's a synonym for His presence, His glory. We see in Revelation 21 verse 23, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. So let's look at a summary statement of man's predicament. John 3 verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Now in the midst of this challenge about His light, here's a word of encouragement. Regardless of your current situation, His light can radically change your life. Listen to what Micah said in 7 verse 8. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, so though he's fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Hope for those who feel like they've fallen. Or Paul, in his rebellion and his persecuting of the church, Acts 9 verse 3, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. In the midst of his life, the suddenlies of God. Or in the life of Peter, in Acts 12, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in his cell, and he struck Peter on the side and woke him. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off. No matter if we are in a place of being out of step with God, or we find ourselves in a prison, or we've fallen, the answer is still the same. If we will come to the light, even though our deeds will be exposed, and we'll have to humble ourselves and beg on His forgiveness, we will find the grace of God. The goodness of God. God will be gracious and bless you and cause His face to shine upon you. Okay, let's just get some practical things of, I can see I need to wake up. Lord, I got that clear. I realize that one of the ways I need to wake up is I need to have Your light, Your presence, Your glory in my life. So in terms of this waking up, what will increase His light in our life? Number one, most obviously, but needs to be stated, is coming to Christ. John 8 verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of the light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself. The offer is made, and then he hides himself, waiting for those who will respond. The second way we find that light is the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That, my friend, is what the gospel does. That is the essence of the gospel, is to take man who is incapable of finding truth, of being set free, of discovering God. It's revealed to us through the gospel. How else do we encounter this light in our life? Through his word, number three. In Psalm 119, in verse 105, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The unfolding of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Also, the ministry of the word, number four. The ministry, the preaching of his word. Titus 1 verse 3. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by God, the command of God, my Savior. We need to pay attention to his word. 2 Peter 1 verse 19 says, and we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. I think I've loved this series so much because it's all about getting to the mountain of His presence. So the best way to prepare for this kind of series or preach is just to get to the mountain where His presence is. So you can leave your books and your, you know, there's a place for books and programs and thesauruses and dictionaries and all these fancy things. There's a place for studying all that. To get prepared for something. Those of you who teach, or those of you who got to give lectures, or those of you who got to give presentations, understand all the nuts and bolts around presentation courses, things, and PowerPoints and blah, blah, blah. The most beautiful thing about this is I've just realized, God, I can't speak about this unless I've been in your presence. And that's the best thing I can do for these people that you entrusted to send me with this message. Is it time to wake up? It's time to get back to that place, figuratively on the mountain, whatever that means for you, but it's that place of intimacy around the centrality of Christ, where you understand that your life is to bring Him glory, make Him great, give Him fame. It's not about having my needs met and my little world in order and all balanced, but it's all about Him. God, bring me to this place. So I'll give you an example. This morning I get up. Now I've got all my notes ready for this morning, and I go, there's a scripture about where Jesus showed his glory to John in Revelations. So I go, but I know through Revelations there's a whole lot of declarations about who he is, now to him who sits on the throne, and salvation belongs to the Lord, and thou art worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor, and blessing and honor, glory and power to you. All these doxology type of praises of God. So I'm going to go to chapter 21, and I'm just going to work back and skim through a few of those, because I know in about chapter 1, it's where Jesus showed himself to John in a spectacular show of glory. Quarter to six or so. And as I started there, I just started enjoying myself so much. It was so wonderful to read these old things. I thought, these are those old songs, a lot of them. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. I don't want to preach that next Sunday. I'm just going to go through all of these. But I've got myself so excited about this. When I looked again, it was almost time to come to church. I had my notes. I've done that a little bit, but you know what it's all about? It's when we begin to love His Word again. It's when the ministry of His Word brings light. It's when the preaching of His Word brings hope. It's when the paying attention to His Word, the meditating and the abiding in that Word begins to build within us again such an expectation that all the other things, that they have found their place. But I discover Him again. I come into centrality when I'm in His Word. Church, it's time to wake up. It's time to stop talking about being in His Word and get in His Word. It's time to stop quoting what God said to me in July 1966. And I ask you, have you got a fresh revelation today? Because if you don't, what you think is light is just man-made fires. Phew, got that off my chest. Thanks, Steve. I feel better already. And that's what the Word I felt to bring this morning. His Word, the entrance of His Word brings light. One last thing, number six, that we can do about His increasing His light is to ask for it. In Psalms 113 verse 3, look on me and answer, O Lord my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. Psalm 43 verse 3, send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Isn't that what we're talking about this morning? Coming to the mountain where He dwells? Aren't we talking about an increased revelation of who Jesus is? Beyond just the bearded and sandaled man from Galilee who was born in a manger, to the glorious revelation of who Christ is? On the mountain of His presence, when we come collectively and He promises to increase His presence, that is a time to be saying, God, I'm going forward. I'm moving on. I'm moving in. I'm taking hold. I'm not giving up. I'm not letting go. I'm asking for it, Lord, because I want You to guide, Your light to guide me, that I may be awake when I'm on that holy mountain, to the place where You're dwelling. God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. And He says, wake up. Can we stand together? I'm going to have the last verse, Sean, come up. Psalm 67 verse 1. I want to read this and then I want to pray it over you this morning. I'm going to read it. Can I ask nobody moving around? I felt to read this, and I want to just sit down. I want to finish with one last point. Psalm 67 verse 1 says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us. Lord, I ask right now, Spirit of God, would You come? Would You come and show us Your graciousness? Would You come right now, Lord, with Your blessing upon our lives? That this, what we're talking about, the increase of Your glory, is going to take us from strength to strength, that it's not going to be fading. Can I ask the musicians just to come up quickly, please? And Lord, I pray that we will experience Your face shining upon us. I pray in the weeks and months to come, Lord, that we will love to be exposed to the radiant intensity of Your presence. I pray for every person here, Lord, who may be struggling with that right now, that these things we've heard about coming to Christ, the gospel, Your Word, and just asking, I pray that over lives here this morning. This is the most important thing that we're about, Lord. The most important thing that we're about. Thank you, Jesus.
In Genesis, God said, let there be light.
Yes.
And light appeared, and God was pleased with it. And it divided the light from the darkness, so He let it shine. Father, I just want to say, Lord, this morning, prophetically, as You spoke across planet Earth right at the beginning, let there be light.
Yes.
Father, I speak that word prophetically over every man and woman and child in this building this morning. Let Your light shine upon their lives in an incredible way. Lord, that they would rise and shine, awake from the depression, awake from sickness, awake from strongholds of poverty, and let Your light shine upon them. Separate the people in this building from darkness this morning, as You did in the beginning. Set them free from the sin that is holding them and binding them and keeping them trapped in Satan's kingdom, and put their feet on the solid ground of Your kingdom this morning. Lord, let there be light in the lives of men and women in this building this morning. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can we just take our seats for a moment? I'm going to finish with this. In all our excitement and jubilee of the morning, we never gave you an opportunity to bring your tithe and your offering. And nobody jumped up and went, hey, hey, hey. I'll ask the home sale if you'd come up and prepare for that. Thank you for being with us. And sometimes we get things right around the other side. But maybe the Lord's shining a light in somebody's wallet right now. You know, the Word of God says, where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. And if our treasure's for the kingdom, our heart's for the kingdom, our treasure will line up for what's with the kingdom. And our giving is for the sake of the gospel. Our giving isn't all the practical things that need to take place. Yeah, we trust God. They've got to be taken. But we've got to keep the central thing. The stewardship of the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank You even this morning, as maybe it wasn't by chance we've left the offering for the end. But would You examine our hearts this morning? Lord, as we give to God what is God's, as Lord we bring our tithe and our offering before You this morning, it's part of our worship, part of our sacrifice, part of our declaration that You, Your kingdom, is first in our lives. But Lord, that we return to You cheerfully, as Your word says, that You love a cheerful heart, a cheerful giver. So I pray that over us as a people, Lord, even in tough times and tough times, let us test You in this. Let us watch You take care of every need around us. And Lord, we all have those challenges. But Lord, when it comes to Your kingdom, I pray that in these days when darkness is on the earth, there would be an increase upon Your body. I pray for businessmen and businesses in this church that are currently going through a refining and a focusing. Don't you want to just stand to your feet if that's you? People who are just going in their business or in their income are just going through a very challenging time. I shared this with Janet early this morning, that I felt the Lord say, I'm bringing many people back into alignment. It's going to start with a refocusing, and this includes the church, putting the main thing as the main thing. And when they do that, and I find them faithful with that, I will entrust to them the wealth of the heathen. That promise of the wealth of the righteous is stored up. And I pray that, Lord, that prayer, that prophetic prayer over the people standing here this morning. Where, Lord, maybe right now there's a refining, a making adjustments, restructuring, whatever that's taking to focus on the main thing. Maybe a lot of stuff's been caught up along the way, and peripheral things that are going to be trimmed off. But Lord, I pray as things are brought back into focus in what You've called them to be involved in. Lord, I pray for a release, the heavens open supernaturally over businesses, men, women, families, in Jesus' name. We pray. pressed down, shaken together, and running over in the laps of your children. And Lord, that part of this end time glorious church will be a church that sees the kingdom come powerfully through sending out missionaries, planting churches, doing the things that you've called them to do. We will not back off. We will not slow down. So we pray, Father, for that release over this church. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys, and God bless.